KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you. Or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Welcome to this day, February 3rd, All Things Napa. Happy that you're joining us today, and we've got something just a little bit different for you today. Joining us in just a minute, I'm going to be introducing our first guest, but before I do that, as some of you may know, this is not my full-time gig. I am a full-time realtor. This is what I do to give back to the community and somewhat as a hobby. And so just wanted to share some staggering real estate statistics before we speak to our guest today. I was just amazed when I read this information that in November, just a couple of months ago, home prices nationally rose a staggering 9.5%. That's one of the highest gains on record. Of course, Phoenix, Seattle, San Diego are the strongest, and that is a source from Case-Shiller. Now, despite this dramatic rise in home prices, December home sales, that's the volume, not the prices, they also rose for the first time in 5 months. And that's capping the best year since 2006. And of course, we have to attribute that to the incredibly record low mortgage rate. So just wanted to share that with you. The other thing that it said is that more consumers are showing their willingness to buy homes in the next 6 months than in a long time since that survey, which is kind of contradictory. But I just found that really interesting. And yeah, I like to geek out on real estate data because that's what I'm passionate about. If you ever have any questions about real estate, just reach out to me at 707-266-1585. I would be happy to assist you. And with no further ado, if you may have heard some throat clearing in the background, that is because my guests, Rachel Friedman and Paulette Litz, are on the line with us. Welcome, ladies.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here today. Why don't, without me giving any introduction, I think it's best coming from you. Why don't you introduce yourselves to the audience?
Okay. I'm Rachel Friedman. I've been in Napa since 1960. We used to own Brewster's Army Navy Store, which I think many of your listeners might still remember. I was a teacher, special ed teacher, for a lot of years. And for the most part, I've been around a long time. However, just recently with the COVID, I have been housebound, and so my friend Paulette and I have been getting together mostly by Zoom, and we found this hobby, and it has just saved my life.
And what hobby and is that?
That is playing the ukulele.
There we go. All right.
Yeah.
Paulette, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thanks, Lee. Good morning. I'm Paulette Litz, and Rachel and I met when we were both working for the Napa County Office of Education in their early intervention program. And we just clicked at that point, but it took us many years, like until we retired, to be able to spend time together. Rachel's prior hobby was teaching and playing Mahjong, and so she introduced me to that, and that's been a wonderful addition to my life. But then we decided to, again, I'm living home alone, and so we decided that we both wanted to play the ukulele better. We had been introduced to the ukulele through different sources, but we share Gordon Lustig. So a big shout out to you, Gordon. You really helped us find a place to find a lot of joy and just enjoy each other. So playing the ukulele has been a daily anchor for both Rachel and myself.
And that is wonderful. You know, we hear of various hobbies and things that people have done based on their limited other activities. And tell us what was the end goal? I mean, the end goal was probably just initially just to enjoy each other's company and enjoy learning how to play the ukulele. See, I just learned already that you don't say ukulele, you say ukulele.
That's the Hawaiian way, ukulele.
Right. So it started out as a hobby and hanging out and having a good time. And then what was the big event in the last couple of months that transpired as a result of this hobby?
Okay, so I'll start. Rachel and I have been used to doing volunteer work and being with other people. And we were feeling very handicapped by not being able to do something for other people, which is a way that helps us feel good. So we were just kind of chatting one day and said, you know, we should do something with this ukulele stuff. It makes us happy. Maybe we could do something like that for other people. And then Rachel?
So we decided we were going to play for this nursing homes when this pandemic is over. And then I saw on television these long rhymes of people trying to get food, and it just resonated with me, and I thought people should not have problems feeding their children. It was just seemed like such a sin to me. So I suggested to Paulette that we do something, and we decided to do a concert and play a few songs that we knew, and we then talked about it with other people, and that was what hatched the idea that ran away. I mean, it just went right. That idea took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
Now, of
and
course,
we were thinking that
you're not talking about live concerts, right? I mean, you're in person, though, right?
No, a Zoom concert.
A Zoom concert, yeah.
Yeah, a Zoom concert, which we, a Zoom is a new aftermarket application for us. We didn't even grow up with computers. So Rachel's granddaughter works for Zoom, so she helped us set everything up. We kept our invitation list to just family and friends. We thought, well, you know, we both know a lot of people and a lot of people are interested. And what we discovered is pretty much without exception, every one of these people so much wanted to do something good for other people as well. It was, we were tapping into the mother lode, the gold mine, because people just are ready to do things for other people. We were very fortunate that we decided to do a GoFundMe concert. We picked the Napa Valley Food Bank to receive our money, and we thought, well, we'll raise about $500. That was our goal.
Yeah. And then while we were playing, we got together and we played at my house. And we had our laptop computer on a milk carton so that it would be up high enough. And then we had Gordon Lustig, our friend, come over and just be in the room in case something catastrophic happened. And Gordon had given us some good ideas, and I remember the first time he watched us play or heard us play, and his eyes were like rolling in his head, and I'm thinking to myself, I know what he's thinking right now. But he really was extremely supportive, and he was real pleased, and he helped us a lot.
Was your interpretation of his rolling eyes that he was vastly impressed, or it wasn't
well,
as good
I like
as
to
he
think
thought?
That. Yeah, I like to think, and that's what he said. You know, yeah, he said, right. You hear me talk over and over again about how practice makes a big difference, and our daily practice really proved that. So I think we've become Gordon's poster child for practice can really make a difference.
Considering we only knew like 2-3 chords when we started.
Yeah. And now we're up to about 10.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, we are certainly not professional performers.
No.
And we really recognize that what we were doing was a very humble, very, very humble way of saying, hey, we're doing something during the pandemic, and we saw one of the Napa Valley Can-Do newsletters that said, hey, Grandma, what did you do during the pandemic? And we realized that we learned how to play the piano. We have deepened our friendship. We've given other people an opportunity to do something really good for our community. And we've just had a good time. So
I think you meant ukulele.
What did
I don't
say?
Play piano.
Oh, did I say piano? Ukulele, sorry.
He plays the piano. I don't.
Okay. Nice catch there. So we've been keeping the audience on the edge of their seat because your goal was 500, and you have not revealed yet what the actual GoFundMe concert raised. Should we keep them anticipating just a little bit longer and have you
whatever you want?
Well,
I'm dying to tell them.
Well, I know, and I'm not going to steal that thunder. I know the answer, but I think we should tease them just a little bit longer, and we should enjoy one song from you, and then you can reveal.
Okay, well, you know, we always get stage fright whenever we play, so excuse my mistakes, Rob, and my disclaimer.
You are totally forgiven, and besides, you're not even on a stage. You're at the comfort of your own home.
Okay, so we're going to play Lazy Bones. Paulette, you want to tell about Lazy Bones?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the Midwest, and I remember seeing Leon Redbone when I was a college kid. And I really like his version of Lazy Bones. So Rachel and I talked about it, and it's like it's a nice, easy-going song. So we're just going to give it a go for you all.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Lazy Bones, sleeping in the sun. Now how you expect to get your day's work done? You'll never get your day's work done. Sleeping in the new day's sun. Fish won't rub your love. Lazy
Association. Yeah.
That was great. I'm a Leon Redbone fan too, and I think you just nailed it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess we've kept the audience in suspense long enough. So your goal for this GoFundMe Zoom concert, leveraging the hobby that you picked up only after the pandemic began. And actually, when was the date of the concert?
December 13th.
So December, not that long ago, and only, about 8 months or so of practice to lead to this live performance. And
I just wanted to say, Leo, that it was also the day before my birthday.
Oh.
And I turned 91.
Wow, congratulations. I knew
Thank
that.
Thank you.
I was not going to ask because my mama taught me you never ask a woman how old she is, but you did say that you had been in Napa for a long time and you emphasized long.
So. Yeah.
Well, happy belated birthday.
And well, thank you.
Now reveal how you crushed the original goal of $500 and you raised
$10,000.
Wow, that is incredible. And that was all to go to the Napa Food Bank, all based on your compassion for those that were hungry, and you just said, that's not right, and I agree, and you did something about it.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you. So what does the future hold for Rachel Friedman and Paulette Litt's Ukulele Heroes?
Oh, thank you. We're going to keep playing ukulele. We've still been playing every day, mostly by Zoom. We get together on Fridays in person because we just share each other's bubble. So we're continuing to play every day.
We have a new playlist now. So now I'm having to learn new chords. And I feel like I'm starting all over again, but that's the challenge. And I, because of my age, I don't want to get senile, you see. And
right.
this is how I'm working my brain.
Me too. We're still talking over a future project because doing something good for our community has just been a constant source of joy for us. And we don't want to lose that. We want to figure out how to do that again. So we're having conversation about what's our next project.
Yeah.
So we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the comment that you made that you do things for the community, perhaps you will inspire others to do something for the community too. And there's just so many things that people can do. And then you also mentioned that you're learning new chords and exercising your brain. I was going to say, couldn't you find new songs that used the same few chords that you knew? But then you wouldn't be exercising your brain as much. So good for you for challenging that and continuing to learn more and more difficult chords.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
What are the names of some of the other songs that you guys already know?
Paulette? Oh, well, we have a playlist of 18, so.
Well, you pretty much have
like
two CDs
Bill
in
Bailey,
the can
Won't
right
You
there.
Please Come Home, Pennies from Heaven, Sweet Georgia Brown, Lulu's Back in Town.
Most of the old songs we thought we would play since we might be playing at nursing homes.
Right.
That we would play songs that people could sing along. And that's pretty much my generation would be some of these old songs.
Right.
Every once in a while, we'll throw in a Beatles song or a Neil Diamond song.
Or Elton John.
Elton John, yeah. But mostly they're just the old timers.
Very nice. You know, I grew up playing the trumpet, and I have an appreciation for music of the 30s and the 40s only because that's the age of my my trumpet player when I was a kid. So I was playing Chattanooga Choo Choo and Three Coins and the Fountain. And, you know, and it, had I not had him as a teacher, I never would even know what those songs were in that
well,
entire
era. Well, of
course,
era, my grandkids never heard of most of the songs I'd sing.
They, you could probably convince them that you wrote these songs and they'd never know.
Yeah, for sure, sure. Well, I have a 10-year-old granddaughter who requested that I learn some Dolly Parton songs. So we worked on The Pain of Loving You, and what are some of the others?
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. We just, you know, some of the country westerns, so
right.
Trying to get into that a little bit.
Well, we would love to hear another song from you. So as we close out your interview here, unless before you do that, is there anything that we have not covered that you want to make sure that our listeners are aware of?
Well, I'd just like to say hello to all those people out there who remember Brewster's.
Yes.
And remember Larry and me. And I don't know if you knew about Brewster's, but Brewster's was an Army-Navy store, but it was actually a very iconic store. And my husband had a sofa in the front of the store, and people would come and sit and watch television. He had a TV in the front, too. So it was like the country hangout. And so it's been, I closed it down in 1999. So it's been over 20 years. But because of that, I got to know so many of the businesses and I had another life, in the downtown, and I was president of the downtown merchants at one point. So
very nice.
I've been very involved in the Napa business community too.
And for those who do not remember, or you just weren't here yet, picture that store right where Yo Bell is on the northeast corner of First and Main, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for those of us.
My next door to the Opera House.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. So really, was it right where Yo Bell is or where Palisades is now?
Palisades.
Okay, so not quite on the corner. Right, really close. Okay, that's interesting.
No, we were on the corner. We had the whole corner.
Okay, so
we were there for a lot of years. We're in business over 40 years.
They put a wall up, but it was all the same structure or same open space for you when you had the store then.
One day I was downtown and I just happened to look in that direction and our building was gone.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was just, my heart just sunk because we had been there 40 some years on that corner.
Wow.
And it was just, and many people, sent me letters and all about all the things that had happened with Brewster's in their life and how they remembered it. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a touching moment.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They should have warned you before they tore that down because that could be
kind
of traumatic.
They definitely should have. Then I wouldn't have fainted. I was erased from the world.
Right. All right, yeah. Ladies, this has been so much fun. I really appreciate you joining us on the air today. Go ahead and play another song and we'll wrap it up.
Okay, thank you. And again, you know, we just really want to encourage people, just because we're home alone and protecting ourselves and everybody else, that we can still do good stuff, mm-hmm. even if it's just, you know, kind of doing something for a neighbor. So our last song is going to be What We Think. Yeah, this is a wonderful world.
Oh,
so bring out
this.
Your trumpet and play along with us,
okay.
The movie, okay?
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed day and dark.
faces of people. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying, oh, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Wonderful. Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
And we will have a wonderful world again, I know.
Yes, we will. Well, thank you for gracing us with your presence. We really appreciate it. Thank you for all you do for the community.
Well, thank you, and the same to you.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. All right. We're going to take a quick short commercial break, and we will be right back with more great radio. We've got Nikki Peterson. She's the senior program manager of the Big Bang Business Competition. There's a lot going on. We want to learn from Nikki. So we'll be right back after this.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
And just like that, we are back. Well, that was fun. I really enjoyed that. And God bless them for doing so much for the community. It is now time to talk to Nikki Peterson. Nikki, are you there?
Well, hi there. Good morning, Lee.
Well, good morning to you. So you are the senior program manager. I kind of misspoke earlier. You're in charge of the Big Bang competition, but your title is actually the senior program manager of the UC Davis Institute for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, right?
Yes, you got it. I know it's a lot. It's
I think you're the guest with the longest title that I've ever had on the show.
Oh, well, see, there we go. Yeah, not bad. So, thank you for having me.
You are most welcome. Just right there when you said thank you for having me, that's the volume that we want to be on. You were just a little bit soft before, so keep projecting. Pretend that you are singing just like Rachel and Paulette, and you need to project your voice. How's that?
Oh, that works. How's that?
Okay. That's a lot better. All right. Well, let's just start with your background and things of that nature, and then we can kind of go into how we met. And I mean, I'm just really looking forward to learning about what your organization does for those who have an entrepreneurial spirit. And you got some events coming up that we want to make sure that we mention as well. So let the audience get to know you just a little bit, okay?
That's great. Thanks, Lee. Well, you know, it's interesting. I grew up in Nevada County, which is, I'm a country girl up in the woods, and was raised off-grid and homeschooled and trained horses. And so I have kind of a non-sequitur background when it comes to working where I do. But, you know, it really was as a returning student to Sierra College and then eventually to Sac State, where I got a degree in accounting. That's really where I dove in and got to know the community, the business community here in Sacramento and the Davis area. I did a lot of volunteer work and got involved with an organization called the Sacramento Entrepreneurship Academy. And that's really where I fell in love with entrepreneurship. I'd worked at mom and pop type stores and restaurants growing up. And so always had a really good work ethic that entrepreneurs tend to have. And so, you know, as I graduated, it was 2011, and I anticipated being a CPA for the state. I had already done a bunch of internships as a student at the state level and was ready to go right when the hiring freeze went into place for the state of California. And that kind of threw me off course just a bit, because everything I had worked for was looking like it had gone poof into nowhere. So that's when I did what we instruct our students and participants in our programs to do, is to reach out to your network. It's all about the network and the people in your lives that you've built relationships with when it comes to really putting yourself out into the world and making a difference. And so that's what I did. I called my business community. They had heard about this position that had come available at UC Davis. And so that's where my journey began almost 10 years ago at this Institute for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And, you know, back then, we were a small center. I was actually their first full-time employee that they hired here at the Institute. And so, you know, we operate very much like a startup. And so we practice a lot of what we preach here at our programs. And over the years, the programs that I was entrusted with, I had three when I started. The Big Bang Business Competition that we'll talk about is one. And we also run these entrepreneurship academies several times throughout the year, which I was in charge of. And then we also have a fellowship program for business development, where we allow scientists and engineers to come to the Graduate School of Management and learn some business skills so they can go out into industry and be very successful with their technical background as well as business.
Thank you for that. So what is the mission of the Institute? So it's been around for about 11 years now. Tell us about the mission.
Yeah, so I was, you know, being their first full-time employee, the Institute had been in place for a few years right before me. But our mission really is to get things out of the lab and out into the world. And by doing that, we really change the world for the better. UC Davis, they're really well known for being the number one ag school in the world. They're also nationally and ranked as being the top veterinarian medicine school. We also have a great school of human medicine, as most people know, UC Davis Health. And so because of that, the types of technologies and innovations that come through our university tend to be the ones that are very life-changing. They hit us all at a very real level, how we're going to feed ourselves in the next 50 years and how we help our animals when they get sick. And that also translates into how we take care of ourselves and our family when we get ill. So our mission really is to help all of these great technologies, ideas to get out of the labs, out into the world. And we do that through our fantastic students and participants.
So I can't help but think, the Great Recession really threw a lot of careers into a spin, and recent graduates thereafter had to pivot and figure out what they were going to do. And the same is holding true now with this pandemic, where recent college graduates or people in high school and people in college, their entire lives have been tremendously disrupted. And what track they thought that they were on prior to March of 2020 could be so much different. But this is an opportunity for them to basically do what you did and leverage their network and find out what alternatives there might be, and even alternatives that they can do that don't necessarily require being in an office in a traditional sense, and they can do things on their own. So you just mentioned that a lot of the UC Davis students are part of this program. Is the program open to others outside of UCD?
Yes, actually, we host a variety of different programs that we do bring in the people outside of the university and our business community, as well as those who are just interested in learning more about innovation and entrepreneurship. The business competition is a great example of that. We open that up to the public, and we kick that competition off with a series of workshops that start in October, and they're free and open to the public. We teach them throughout the course of the academic year. And then starting in February is when the competition actually begins. And so this is perfect timing for people who are interested in the competition. There's still time to register and get involved in the competition.
We are speaking right now with Nikki Peterson, the Senior Program Manager of UC Davis Institute for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And if what she just said resonates with you, Nikki, how does someone get in touch with you and so that they can sign up for, or at least get some questions answered as to whether or not they want to participate in the Big Bang Business Competition?
Well, you know, our website is a great resource to start with. And that website address is innovate.ucdavis.edu. And you can do a /Big Bang, all one word. And that'll take you to the Big Bang Business Competition website, where all of the information on registering, the Zoom links to the workshops, and all of the rules can be found, so you know what to expect for the competition. However, I am also always available and love to meet new people, so you can certainly reach out to me via email, and that's at ndpeterson@ucdavis.edu.
And if you didn't catch all of that, never hesitate. Any of my guests always reach out to me at leewmiller@gmail.com or text me at 707-266-1585. So those who might be considering taking you up on this offer to go through some programs, learn about entrepreneurship, and even if they don't actually enter the contest, is that something that they can do, just go through those workshops and then not participate in the contest?
You know, that happens quite often, where people are interested in a workshop topic, or they want to come in and avail themselves of the great free education that is taught at the university. So, yes, you can certainly attend the workshops and not enter the competition and just take advantage of those. We actually have a workshop coming up on Thursday, tomorrow, at 6 p.m. And all of that information is on the website. But we call that one Putting Your Best Foot Forward. And it's instruction on how to put yourself together on your LinkedIn profile and really present yourself and interact with mentors in a professional manner to get the most out of your mentorship experience. We really heavily rely on our fantastic mentors to help with the process of developing these ideas. There's a lot of conversation and iteration that goes along with this, and being able to talk to a variety of different folks is really, really valuable.
I can't imagine anyone, whether they are a recent graduate, unemployed, recently laid off, with or without extensive business experience or employment experience. I can't imagine anyone not coming away from those workshops with at least something. And of course, for some, it could be completely life-changing and lead to an entirely new future for them. One of the things you just mentioned in all of that, you only said it one time, but I think probably it perked ears as it did for me. The word was free. So all of this is free. These workshops are free, right?
That is correct. They are free and open to the public. Anyone can attend. And we really encourage you to come and join us.
So I wonder if there are some people that start the workshops with the full intention of entering the contest and then getting to know other participants in the workshops and learning what their business ideas are and for the pitches, then they say, oh no, that's way better than mine. I'm not going to do it anymore. There are probably some of those, and that's probably okay. So let's talk about the actual competition. You're inviting people to pitch their idea with the objective of raising funds, but they're going to, at least if they win, they get how much money for winning the pitch competition?
Well, we have a series of prizes, which is always really great when we're doing these competitions. The first place prize is a $20,000 purse.
Wow.
Which is really, we've got some really amazing sponsors. Marone Bio is sponsoring that particular first place prize with Lauren Johnson. We have all the prizes listed on the website as well. But we also do a couple of others, including a People's Choice Award, which allows those who come to the award ceremony to listen to the pitches and choose their own favorite, which is really great. And that's a $10,000 prize.
Wow. And then
right. And then from there, we have the pillar prizes. And those are based on what I was saying earlier about the core competencies of UC Davis, really, and our surrounding area. But food and ag, animal health, human health. There's a social entrepreneurship prize this year. And then finally, there's the energy and sustainability prize.
So all of the pitches, they are not necessarily technology based. They could be services or various things of that nature as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And we encourage that. There's definitely a heavy technology base because we're at UC Davis. But we also encourage ideas from all different aspects of business.
So let's go back in time here a little bit, Nikki, and tell us some of the past winners of the competition.
Yes, absolutely. And I apologize if there's some feedback noise. I've got a car going down the street. It's almost gone. So
well, sorry. It's not feedback as much as I've noticed that you are fading in and out. And I don't know if you're twirling around or if you're walking or what.
I will hold still.
Yeah, hold still. Where you are right now seems to be coming in really well. And just for our listeners, normally we have guests in studio here at the radio station, but sometimes when guests are either busy with appointments or have concerns about COVID, even though we do wear masks in the studio, we do phone interviews, and sometimes there's little glitches, but we're hearing you okay.
Thanks, Lee. So to give you some idea, I went through some of our past winners for the Big Bang, and it's always fun to hear about the winners, and they tend to be the medically based prizes or companies. But so, for instance, Dr. Ben Wang, he has a medical device that his company is called NEVAP Incorporated, and it's an endotracheal tube that reduces the chance of infection. And, he won the $10,000 prize in 2014. And since then, he has been working so hard to get FDA clearance in both the U.S. and in Europe. And this is particularly keen for our COVID time because the ventilators use these tubes on a regular basis, and his is proven to be better at reducing the infection.
How long ago did he win that prize? I'm just curious.
Okay, so that one was back in 2014.
Wow.
And
boy, that's exposing the ridiculously long process for FDA approval, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Yes.
I can say that. I have nothing
to
do with
it. No one knows it better than Ben. Yes.
All right, so that was one, and that's going to just have this huge impact on the medical community. What are some of the other ones?
Well, you know, we always like to mention John Bissell and his company Origin Materials, because back in 2008, he was an undergrad at UC Davis as a chemical engineering undergrad. And he came out with a great way to create carbon negative materials. So you turn biomass into useful materials. And you know, he lost the competition with that idea back in 2008.
So, but one doesn't always have to come in first place to go on to have great success.
Well, yes. And the reason we like to tell his story so much is because of everything he learned by attending the workshops and taking advantage of the mentoring and the extra education. He knew how to talk about his idea and go raise money, and that's exactly what he did. He was able to raise his first $40 million in a relatively short amount of time as far as entrepreneurship goes, and he's been largely successful since then.
Man, I love hearing stories like this. So in a way, you are a local, smaller version of Shark Tank.
Yeah, in a way. And our mentors tend to be a little bit nicer than the Shark Tank mentors.
Well, certainly nicer than Kevin O'Leary, I'm sure. And you, as the panel, you're not taking any equity, right?
That's correct. That is an important point. And that makes us a bit different than a lot of other competitions. We don't take any equity or interest in the companies that come through any of our programs. And in fact, when you win the purse, that money is free and clear to you after taxes, of course. But that money doesn't have any strings attached to it, which makes it really great for the entrepreneurs to determine for themselves where they think that money is best directed.
You know, that is a great point, because once you get venture capitalists involved and they invest in your company, you tend to lose the autonomy of spending money and, basically everything in your business. You are being watched and you are being guided pretty much by force to do the growth the way they want you to do. And granted, it's only 10,000 or only 20,000 versus millions, but still, that's a great benefit that you maintain that autonomy.
It is, and it also, you know, as Dr. Ben Wang would say, who won in 2014, he said that it wasn't necessarily the $10,000 for a medical device that got him very far down the road, but it was the PR and the notoriety that he got from being in this competition. We're really well known for being really great educators, and so those who go through our competition tend to come out really knowing how to do these pitches well. And that means a lot when you're going out and asking for money, that you have a well-polished pitch and that you've practiced and you've gotten feedback to where you go and you truly put your best foot forward, which is what we really try to help you do.
You know, to that point, I sometimes wince at Shark Tank pitches because they seem so corny. And they're not just with a business focus. And I'm assuming that is probably largely directed by the producers to make it a little bit more entertaining for the audience. I don't think that it is as entertaining that way, because like I say, I wince at the corniness when they come out in costume, or you know, when they're you know, the last line of the pitch is always, so who wants to, and then some kind of corny thing. That said, is that part of the training of the pitches, is that you do something memorable to catch the attention, or is it all serious and business focused in the pitches as far as the workshop training goes?
That's a great question. We definitely teach that there needs to be some kind of a personal passion or a hook to the story as to why you're doing what you're doing. It is so important that the person who's starting up a company have ample energy and enthusiasm to carry you through, because it's a long road. And so the more personal your business is to you, the better off you are at being able to present it in that way. Corniness aside, though, definitely want to have the interesting story and a reason behind it. But it, then you need to get down to business at some point within these pitches. So we also teach you the business framework that you need to know to do this well. And so after the personal hook, then you get down to business.
Oh, for sure. So one of the things that I've noticed on Shark Tank is that they might find a concept or a business opportunity appealing, but yet they don't invest because they don't have confidence or faith in the actual person. They don't see a level of commitment, or they don't see a degree of competence that they can lead and run their company, things of that nature. As far as the business competition, the Big Bang business competition, is it purely the idea and the marketability and the impact that that concept will have, or do they take into do they factor in the individual pitching it as well?
You know, it's kind of a full package. So you definitely need to look at likelihood of success for these businesses and the fact in how are they going to make money. That's always how you evaluate a business. But then beyond that, investors really are investing in the person or the team behind an idea, because in all honesty, people have already had your idea in some way, shape, or form over the years. That's just how that works. It's the team and the person who can bring that to fruition and do so in a way that makes sense is really what the investors are looking for.
You know, that's a great segue that you were completely unaware that you made. And I do want to let the listeners know that we connected on LinkedIn because I reached out to Sac State alumni, and so we got to know each other via a phone call, and that led to you introducing me to another one of the previous winners, Christy Serrato, and she was a guest on my show last month, and I'm really grateful for that. Why don't you tell a little bit about Christy, because she was one of the winners. And what year did she win?
I believe she was in 2015 and 2016. So she did the competition a couple of times through the, we have a on campus, we have a Little Bang poster competition, which is an aside from the Big Bang, but she was able to do that Little Bang the first year to kind of do a proof of concept, basically, for her idea. And then she came back to do the actual Big Bang the following year, and she won. And it was the Food and Ag Prize that she took home that year. And it was really because she's created this app for wine pairing, but it's gone way beyond just pairing foods and wines for the user. It's connecting local wineries with their customers and allowing the customers to really take advantage of the full suite of offerings that a winery has, and to add that personal touch.
Yeah, the name of that app, if our listeners are curious, is Pair Anything. That's P-A-I-R. We're not bringing fruit into this. So pairanything.com, you can check that out. I encourage you to do so. And if you have interest and want to go a little bit further, I'm sure you can get in touch with Christy Serrato, the president, CEO, founder of pairanything.com. What have we not covered? Because we only have a couple minutes left.
We do have a couple of minutes, and the one thing I did want to mention is we also have a speaker series that we offer on a quarterly basis, and that those speakers series, those are also open to the public and are free of charge. And this new speaker we have coming up next week is on February 9th at 5:30 p.m., and her name is Jill Violet. She's a social entrepreneur, an author, a thought leader. And the title of her talk is Why Play Works. And it really is a talk about how will you be useful and what do you do to make the world better. So that'll be the topic of her talk. And that's all on Zoom starting at 5:30. That can also be found on our website.
Tell the listeners the website again. Well, I will this time. It's innovate.ucdavis.edu. That's kind of obvious. Really, the only thing you got to remember there is innovate. And then at the very end of innovate.ucdavis.edu, you just do a forward slash and big bang. And if you didn't get that, always reach out to me, LeeWMiller@gmail.com, or text me at 707-266-1585. Nikki Peterson, thank you very much. We really enjoyed. I hope that you have a full house for the Zoom event, which is Why Play Works. And all of that can be found at that website that I just mentioned as well. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day and continued success for the program in helping many entrepreneurs realize their dreams.
Thank you so much, Lee. I really appreciate it.
All right. That'll wrap it for today. Remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.